I'm reading one verse of scripture this morning from the 23rd chapter of the gospel according to the writing of St. Matthew and verse 23. Matthew 23:23. And I'm going to minister to you today. I'm going to give it two or three thoughts that you could call it. I could preach on consistency. Then I could call it a well-balanced Christian life or character. Well-balanced. Even-balanced. Not an extremist. Modest. I could call it any of these. I'll let you call it what you want to. Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." They were doing some things, and the Lord commended them for it. But there were some things they were not doing that the Lord said that they were even weightier matters, as weighty and as essential as what they were doing was. If I wanted to preach a message on tithes and say that Jesus taught it, I'd use this verse. He commended the people that paid tithes and then told them what they wasn't doing, and these you ought to have done, and don't leave the other, paying tithes, don't leave that undone. So if I was preaching on tithes, I could say Jesus taught it, and he really did. But at the same time, he said there were some things weightier with him, weightier than paying tithes, as essential as that is. I don't think you can rob God and get by. I just don't believe you can. But then there's some things more weighty. Meditation and prayer of this thought to share with you today. I thought if people could make the rapture or be saved on one or two good things or deeds about them, everybody would make it. I don't suppose there's anyone that you couldn't find that's doing some things that you can compliment them for. I've heard of a man that they said he never said aught against anyone in the world. And there was a man in the community that hardly anyone thought much about. He whistled all the time, and this man died. And they were attending the funeral, talking about him, and some said that to this man that never spoke evil of anyone, said, "Well, I don't know if there's really anything good you could say about him." This man spoke up and said, "Yes, I can. He's one of the best whistlers I ever heard in my life. He's going to find something good to say." And I do believe that if people could just go to heaven on one outstanding thing, they'd make it. They'd make it. I remember when I was pastoring, and there's a couple moved to our town. They moved there because they found work there and hadn't worked in quite some time. And they were down financially. They were really down. And one of our men, he was manager of a furniture store. And he stood good for them enough furniture to start housekeeping again. They didn't bring any furniture with them. Good people, church people, but just down because of no work for some time. Then the office secretary of the church located them a house, and the people helped pay the first month's rent. They paid all that back. He paid all the furniture, but they didn't pay tithes. And they stayed there for 2 or 3 or 4 months and got to where they wasn't attending church like I thought they should. And they live right across the street from the church. I went to church early one Wednesday night in the prayer room praying, and I prayed for them, and God laid it on my heart to go over. And I went, and they were just finishing their evening meal. And they wanted me to sit down, wanted me to eat. They were very courteous, nice. I said, no, I don't want to take up your time. You don't have much more than time enough to get ready to go to church. And they kind of looked at one another, and I said, you're going, aren't you? And they kind of blushed and said, well, Brother Glass, we hadn't thought about going. And then I just said, well, I want you to tell me why aren't you attending church as you did when you first came here. Where have we failed? And he didn't say anything, but she took it up. She said, well, Brother Glass, I'll tell you what's affected me, and I thank my husband. She said, you have ladies in the church that cut their hair. I said, is that right? She said, yes. I said, how many ladies would you say in the church cuts their hair? She said, 4 or 5. I said, is that right? She said, yes. I said, well, how many ladies would you say are in the church? She said, well, I hadn't thought, but it was a large church. She said, I'd say there's at least 150. I said, 150 ladies and 4 or 5 of them cut their hair, so you say. And you're going to let that affect your attending for the 144 or 5 that don't. I said, do you know what I believe? She said, that's what hurts me so bad. I've heard you teach it and preach it, and they won't measure up. I said, well, I don't know who they are. And if you know, I'd rather you wouldn't tell me. Just let me go on with my preaching and not picking anyone out. And I said, now what do you think I should do? She said, it's not for me to tell you what to do. Oh, not for me. But I think something ought to be done. I said, well, now what can I do? Just what can I do? Well, I let her on, and I knew what she wanted. Wanted me to just fellowship her. And I said, sister, I know what you want me to do. You want me to disfellowship those ladies that you say trim their hair. It isn't hanging, it's up. And you say they trim it. I'm not saying you said it. It's you and God and them. Now, any time I disfellowship a lady for trimming their hair, I'm not going to stop there. I can't and be consistent. I'm going to get every tithe payer, everyone that don't pay their tithe, and they hadn't paid a penny since they'd been there. Not a one. How inconsistent can some people be? Praise the Lord. And I took more time than this, and it really rounded them up. And I was preaching in a convention in Tennessee. This is in the state of Tennessee. And I told about it. And I said, some pastors, they won't let a lady on the platform that trim the hair, but they got board members that don't pay tithes and dictate to them how to run the church. I'm against cutting their hair. Yes, I am. I don't let them sing in the choir. I didn't let them come on the platform. If I knew, they cut their hair. I didn't. But I couldn't take the word of somebody else. I had to have more evidence than that. And I brought that out in a convention. Some preachers actually won't let a lady on the platform that trims her hair, but they got board members that don't pay tithes, and the board members are trying to run the church. And one aged preacher came around to me and said, Brother Glass, you just showed me today what a fool I am. I do exactly what you said. Well, I just believe we ought to be consistent. There's more to do, maybe, than what we're doing. Let's consider the things we're leaving undone. And I will tell you, it's the easiest thing in the world to be an extremist in religion. You've known of some extremists. You know the Jimmy Jones story. You know many more. And it's so easy to be an extremist, and we're all prone to be that way. You take some people, they can't modestly fish. They just go all out, just my going debt for motors and boats and this work and go fishing on, just go to the extreme. And then they'll go to the extreme the other way. And they've always had it. I'm going to introduce to you some of the great Bible characters that fought being an extremist. And I'm going to show you them going to the extreme. Two different ways. Over this way and then back this way. Went to the extreme. Some of our choice men in the Bible. That, for instance, let me mention Peter, the great apostle that preached on the day of Pentecost. On one occasion when they were coming after Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, this bold, courageous, outstanding man of God that loved the Lord and we love him because he was who he was and preached what he preached. And he drew a sword and cut a man's ear off. Oh, he's not afraid of that mob that's a-coming. Drew a sword and cut a man's ear off. And Jesus said, put up your sword. They that use the sword will perish with it. I wish I could preach a long time on that. It'll sure take every sword out of your hand. It's not this sword here. And you know, before it is all over, that same man couldn't tell one little damsel that he was a disciple of Christ. And brother, that's jumping from one extreme to the other. Now what God wants is right up here. I preach modesty in dress, in character, in everything. I preach modesty. And the word modest means not an extremist either way. It didn't say one way, either way, not an extremist. I've guarded against this all of my ministerial life. I've guarded against being a compromiser. I don't want to be a compromiser. I told someone since being here, they had a home missionary seminar in our church one time. We just had a good revival. And some fine people received the Holy Ghost. And one accomplished pianist. She was really a teacher. She was good. And I wouldn't use her throughout this seminar because she hadn't had time for her hair to grow out. You coming in, seeing her at the piano, you wouldn't know. But I had the orchestra, and she playing for the orchestra. I had them to play 15 minutes before the service started. And so they were playing, people coming in, a little longer than 15 minutes. And this beautiful musician was playing the piano. And she got off of the bench when church started and didn't get back on it until they called her back. I turned the seminar over to the one that was presiding over it, and he called the orchestra back. I didn't. I told them they wouldn't play through the seminar. He called them back the next night. And when it was all over, he came to me and said, Brother Glass, I'm a little disappointed. I said, what do you mean? He said, you're letting a lady play the piano that has short hair. I didn't think you'd do that. I said, I didn't put her on the piano for you. That lady just received the Holy Ghost. And I'm doing my best to hold on to her while her hair grows out. I remember the day when a lady received the Holy Ghost that wore short sleeves in the hot South. She wasn't able to go buy a new wardrobe. And we pastors would let her wear those short sleeves and tell her, now when you go buy another dress or make another dress, put some sleeves in it. We didn't try to make saints out of them overnight. I tell saints it took us 25 or 30 years to get you where you are, and you want these young ones to be one overnight. So easy to be an extremist. So easy. Let's look at Elijah. Wasn't he a great prophet? Oh, I don't think a bit less of him after I tell you what I'm about to tell you. That man came out of the wilderness. And he challenged Ahab, all the prophets of Baal, prophets of the groves, challenged them all, withstood them all, proved God to be a God that answers by fire. Then after it was all over, he had every one of those prophets put to death. Boy, that's a man, isn't it? He's the one that cried out, how long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, let's serve God. And if Baal is God, let's serve Baal. And he proved God to be God. Man, what a man. What a man. Mount Carmel, what a man. But when Jezebel heard about that, she let him know in no uncertain terms, about tomorrow, this time, you're going to be like those prophets. Brother, he took off. Withstood 900 men prophets of Baal in the groves, plus all the others, and let the challenge of one woman run him out of the country. Here you are. Meet up here. I preach this. You don't have to get on one side of the road. Stay up in the middle of it. You're not going to meet nobody coming back. Oh, Brother Glass, some go back. They don't come back that road. They fall off. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Be consistent. I walked up to one of your missionary board members yesterday. Carl Stevenson. I've known him way back when he was a Texan. And he's been in a foreign country for 30 years and better. He and I laughed about it. It's not really a foreign country. He's been in Canada. I love Canada. I think I've preached in all but one province of Canada. Love the Canadian people. But Bill Coolin, district superintendent of the Ontario district, got the Holy Ghost and revival. I was conducting Winnipeg, 1947, for Brother Voga. So I love Canadian people. And I told Brother Stevens, I've known you on the banks of a lake of fishing, in the boat. Knew you when you was a single man and an evangelist. He's preached in my pulpit. And I've known you all of these years. All of these years. I never mentioned it to him, but we were on a resolution committee together. Had many, many times that our paths have crossed. And I said, Brother Stevens, I hadn't seen one waving moment in your life. You are a very consistent man, no matter where you are. In the pulpit, on the street, wherever I meet you. You're the same old Brother Carl Stevenson. I like people like that. I meet so many like a football. When it hits the ground, you don't know which way it's going to bounce. True. Just don't know. You don't know. You better watch. I like consistency. I have people in my acquaintance. If I meet them tomorrow, I'd know what to expect. I know them. And then I know a lot of people I wouldn't know till I met them and kind of feel of them. Kind of weather has a lot to do with it. Brother Kilgore, I used to laugh at my men in Port Arthur when I was pastoring there many years ago. I tell them I don't want no business tended to when the weather's bad. You're just like the weather. So I'm going to wait till the sun's shining. There's humidity down there affected people a lot more than it does here. And I just laugh at them about it. And it kind of put them on their guard, too. I like consistency. Praise the Lord. Prayer and meditation of this thought, I thought of two men down through the years that I pastored. One of them was Brother Tenney's father, one of the finest men I ever knew. Had the most wonderful spirit. He received the Holy Ghost, and I baptized him in Jesus' name. But he never gave up his smoking. Never. He had principle plus. He would not ask for membership in the church. He knew the church's teaching. He would not take any part in the church service. He'd come in and sit down. Instead of going to the prayer room and praying with the people, he'd kneel between the pews and he'd pray. Every night he came early and prayed. He'd give an altar call and people come to pray in the altar. He wouldn't go up there and pray with them. He'd get over here by himself praying. And pray as long as anybody was in the altar. But he's over there by himself. Principle. He wouldn't put me on the spot asking me for membership. No. He wouldn't stand up and testify. And some of those saints, they rolled me. I asked you to do something with Mr. Tenney. Didn't have courtesy to call him Brother Tenney. You got to do something with. What can I do? Why do you got to do so? What can I do? He's not a member of the church. He takes no part. All in the world he does is get on his knees and pray. I'm not going to stop that. He comes faithful, just as faithful as any man in the church. And the longer it went, I do nothing about it, the madder some of them got. And I'm going to tell you what I told him. He had a spirit. Oh, beautiful. He came to me. He was a successful businessman. He said, I'd like to put choir chairs in the choir and pay for them, Brother Glass, if you won't tell nobody who did it. And I said, well, now, Brother Tenney, that's asking a lot of me not to tell nobody. The church is going to know it come from some source. Well, just let them wonder. I don't want them to think I did it. That's the kind of man he was. Didn't push himself. And I finally told somebody, I'd rather have a cigarette between my fingers is how the spirit you've got of fighting it. And that's not condoning cigarettes either. That's not condoning it. You're looking at a preacher that believes with everything there is in him right now, I'd be in hell if God hadn't saved me and delivered me from smoking cigarettes. Got good set of lungs. Doctor said there's nothing wrong with them. I can preach every night for a month if I'll take a cough drop before. I knew you was waiting for that. Praise the Lord. I believe in consistency. Every day the same. Weather don't affect faithfulness. Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, same all the time. Praise God, not believing one thing today and another thing tomorrow. Not preaching against something and then go around, hide, and practice it. I don't believe in that. I say this, you're no better Christian when you're locked up in your bedroom than you are when you're standing in the pulpit. You're no better Christian in church than you are at home. Praise the Lord. Somebody wanted me to drink a Diet Coke with him. And it just wasn't cold. I said, give me a please get me a glass of ice. I'm that much like my Lord now. I don't like nothing lukewarm. And I want to be like Him in other ways. Praise God. I believe in consistency. Now you listen to this. You listen to this. When King Saul was anointed king, he's king of Israel. And he saw back in the law where there was a law that against wizards, fortune telling, to make it plain. And Saul had all the fortune tellers put to death. And I'm against fortune telling. I just don't read the horoscope. I just don't believe in that junk. I didn't preach against it. I just said, I don't do it. Don't believe it. And I'm not going to preach it here and then go pick up a paper and look at it. I saw a man hurting. Preach against drinking coffee. And before he went to bed that night, the pastor said he drank a cup of coffee with him. Brother, I don't believe in such a thing. Pastor told me, I got the size of my life. He preached against coffee in my pulpit and drank a cup with me before he went to bed. I don't know about what I talked to that man. I'll tell you what I did. I heard a minister, and I'm not preaching for or against, but I heard a preacher preach hard against a wedding band on a lady's finger. And he's preaching in my pulpit. And he preached 2 weeks and wore a different suit of clothes every night. Drove 20 miles to get his shoes shined. Couldn't get a good shine in Derrida, so he drove to Leesville. 20 miles. His automobile had all the chrome on it you could get. Loaded in every way. And I just told him in a nice way. Go to that passage of Scripture where Peter said, taught against putting on gold. And in that very same passage, and it says, an apparel. Change. And I said, you have worn a different suit of clothes every night. For 2 weeks. I never owned that many suits in my life. And I don't intend to. I reach a place I don't care about buying any. I don't think I'll live wear them out. What's used to giving somebody else? I'm preaching on consistency here. But Jesus said there's a people that strains at a gnat. And the margin reference said, well, strain out on that. Get in your throat. Oh boy, you're doing everything to get that gnat out of your throat. And if you've ever preached under brush arbors and open door churches and open windows, you swallowed a few of them. I have. And Jesus said that they would strain out a gnat and turn right around and swallow a camel. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Saul had all the fortune tellers put to death. Had all the idols destroyed. Oh, and they're not going to worship idols in my kingdom. Had them all destroyed. All the fortune. He thought he had all. And he was glad later on and he left one. But the prophet of God told him, later on, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, boy, we're going to crown you, Saul, for doing away with the wizards. I appreciate anybody that'll preach against anything that the Bible's against. I feel like God will bless them as far as they go with the Scripture. I even preach this, God will bless a sinner that pays tithes as much as he will a saint. Paying tithes don't take the saint to heaven. It's just faithful to the cause of God. And God will bless a sinner that pays tithes. But that won't take him to heaven. Takes it all. Takes it all. Now, Saul, we're gonna commend you for being against fortune telling. Our church preaches against it. But we are also against rebellion. And rebellion gets by in our church easier than fortune telling. Did you hear me? Rebellion. Rebelling against authority. Rebelling against the work. Rebelling against truth. Brother Kilgore said last night, preaching, pastoring in Paris, Texas, averaged 26 in Sunday school for an entire year. And 3 of that 26 was openly opposing him and the work he was doing. Rebellion. And pastors have to fight that. They have to fight it continuously, day in and day out. Day in and day out. I pastored a man one time, and I knew this. Any time I went to the pulpit and said anything favorable about Sunday school next Sunday, I could mark him absent. Go and get his book with his name and just mark him absent. He won't be there. But if you don't say nothing about it promoting, he'll be there. I didn't pet that kind of a devilish spirit. I promoted and let him stay home. Praise the Lord. Saul, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And our people get by with stubbornness much easier than they can with iniquity and idolatry. They can be so stubborn. I told you about my father owning teams. I've seen old mules, you put bits in their mouth and a line, and you could pull that line, just pull that bit in his mouth, and his head would come all the way around. He's looking the way you want him to go, but he's going this way. Stubborn. Stubborn. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I know you got a line on me. Up too tight. God, anyone in the world that wants to walk with God and love God, do the will of God, can love our manual. You won't have a bit of trouble in the world with it if you love God. I don't have a bit with it, not a bit. I even go so far as to say, a books of all books, here it is. But the next book with me is that I respect is our manual. I know where it come from. Just a little thin book. But I've attended 49 conferences that's chewed on that book and wrestled and wrestled and wrestled and wrestled and prayed and seek God and pray some more. Oh, there's some out in the lobby, don't care which way it goes, but some in there got it on their heart and they're thrashing it out and they're studying it and they're praying about it. And eventually they'll come to a conclusion. And when they do, I'm afraid to tamper with it. I've gone so far as to say this. They'll never do it, but I've gone so far as to say this. Any time our conference rules against me owning an automobile, there's going to be one go up for sale. Brother Glass, I'm just that fearful. I'd just rather not have things that be contentious, and disobedient, and stubborn, and rebellious. And so we'll credit you tearing down the altars and destroying the wizards, but this rebellion and stubbornness is going to send you to hell. Consistent. And I never have got to my verse of scripture. My time's up. You pay tithes, but you've omitted the weightier matters. Mercy. I could preach a week on mercy. Mercy. Judgment. Just go into all the judgments of God, presently, future, to come in all. I'd even include, judge not, lest you be judged with the same judgment. Be careful in judging. Then faith. Now you ought to do these, and don't you leave what you're doing undone. I want to be